Tesla's putting a lot of energy into China. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Shanghai is set to house another Tesla megafactory. In a tweet on Sunday, Elon Musk said the new facility will be capable of producing 10,000 megapacks a year. And in case you didn't know, a megapack is a very large battery that stores energy. The BBC's Mariko Oi has the details.
Of course, Tesla already has a huge factory to produce electric cars in Shanghai. But over the weekend, the company announced that it's going to build a brand new mega factory to produce megapacks. So they're basically very large batteries that can store energy so they can help stabilize the power grid and prevent outages. Now, a lot of our listeners probably associate Tesla with the electric car business. But of course, its boss, Elon Musk, is very keen to grow its solar energy and battery business to roughly about the same size, especially because the world, of course, is shifting to use more renewable energy. Tesla already has a mega factory in California to produce those megapacks, but Mr. Musk said that this new plant in China will supplement output from the factory in California. And of course, it will also allow the company to take advantage of China's battery supply chain at a much, much lower cost. So that's going to be the company hopes that it'll be up and running by early next year.
BBC's Mariko Oi there. More than 20 countries in Africa are at risk of not being able to repay some of their debts, according to the United Nations. Among them are two of the biggest economies on the continent, Nigeria and Egypt. It's one of the issues that will be discussed in Washington over the next 3 days for the spring meetings of the IMF and World Bank, two of the world's biggest providers of loans. Duda Sembene from the Centre for Global Development has worked with the IMF and was a senior economic advisor to the president of Senegal. He says the knock-on effect of being in debt distress can have huge ramifications for affected countries.
When a country is in debt distress, it is struggling to service its debts. It cannot pay actually debts the way it should be. So basically all the resources that it has are diverted toward paying the debt that it owes to its creditors. What it means is by doing so, it is of course not able to deliver basic services for its population. It's not able to pay for education for kids. It's not able also to make sure that it maintain the health facilities. So all of those critical expenses are sacrificed for the benefit of paying debt.
Duda Sembene from the Centre for Global Development. Now, let's do the numbers. Keeping with Africa, inflation in urban Egypt has climbed to its highest point since July 2017, rising by an annual 32% in March. And since markets across Europe, Hong Kong and Australia have been closed for Easter, it's been a little thin on trading. During the Troubles, unemployment in Northern Ireland was high, but academics at Queen's University in Belfast have found that since 1998, it has experienced the strongest employment growth of any region in the UK. However, with the region's government not sitting because of a political stalemate and challenges arising from Brexit, is Northern Ireland still reaping the economic benefits of the Good Friday Agreement? On the 25th anniversary of its signing, the BBC's Russell Padmore looks at its economic impact, starting with a view from Bertie Ahern, the former Irish Taoiseach, one of the agreement's architects.
Once we kind of got the Good Friday Agreement passed and once the people of the whole island voted for it, immediately you could see the increase in tourism, exports improved, investment improved.
Since 1998, Northern Ireland's economy has grown significantly, but often without political leadership, as Professor Deirdre Heenan from Ossey University explains.
We've had devolved government for 25 years, and of that 25 years, 40% of the time our devolved institutions have been down. We had some sort of normality prior to 2016, but post-2016 and the Brexit vote, we have been living in a period of complete uncertainty.
Would you say the future of Northern Ireland is becoming much closer to the Republic of Ireland, especially in activities linked to business and trade?
I think they are, because an all-island economy makes sense, and I think businesses deal in practicalities. So businesses will find a way around these political difficulties, and for many businesses, particularly since we have left the European Union, that means an all-island supply chain.
Another busy day at this factory here in Mahara Felt. Block employs about 200 people making roller blinds and medical devices. The company, which is one of Northern Ireland's successful exporters, was founded 15 years ago. Paul McDiamond is the owner and managing director.
We're an island, off an island off the main continent, so we need everything going for us to trade with both local firms but also foreign firms. So, but it comes to the ease of movement of product. We'd be great advocates of making that as easy as possible. Freedom of movement of product allows us to trade further afield, Germany, France and countries like that.
Cormac Diamond, an entrepreneur who plans to take advantage of the Windsor framework, the unique Brexit deal that allows Northern Ireland to trade freely with the European Union, unlike the rest of the UK. Andrew Noble is a partner with Par Equity in Scotland, which has funded six ventures in Northern Ireland.
I think one of the areas that we're particularly excited about, because we are investors in what we call deep tech companies, is the focus on research and innovation in and around the universities of Northern Ireland. And that's certainly an area that has pockets of real strength.
Despite the British exit from the European Union, Northern Ireland remains part of the EU market, and notably with no barriers to trade with the neighbouring Irish Republic. It means the two economies will integrate more, and that could lead the way to political unity for Ireland. And a vote on that at some stage is also set in stone in the Good Friday Agreement, which may be a quarter of a century old, but is still very relevant for the future of Irish businesses.
Russell Padmore with that report. And finally, a Dubai vehicle registration plate carrying the number 7 was sold for $15 million in a charity auction. For that amount, it had better be lucky. That's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Ollie Dalbert-Hansen for producing. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thank you for listening.